All right, everyone, welcome into the first Fantasy Golf video of 2024. We have the Century Tournament, which used to be the Century Tournament of Champions, albeit it's going to play exactly the same as it has over the years past. This is going to be a no-cut event as well. Strangely enough, those were some of the biggest edges that we had last year were no-cut events. Hopefully that continues again this year. I'm excited to have golf back. Hopefully you guys are as well. Let's go in and get into it. So just kind of looking over kind of the past winners to get a sense of what type of golfers we should be looking at this week. Now, we have the data to go off of as well, but I think this is an easier way to kind of show you guys what to be looking at, because we really don't know exactly what to be looking at, because when we're looking at, we see we got a different golfer type kind of winning each and every season. So basically it's just going to be targeting golfers that can score, maybe golfers that played in the fall and whatnot. But really the biggest issue that we have with a tournament like this is that we haven't seen most of these golfers play during the fall series or for over 4 months. So a lot of these golfers are going to be playing in their first competitive rounds. So really at the start of the PGA season, we tend to see that it's a little bit harder to predict. There's a lot more higher variance to it. Whereas when we get into the middle of the season, it starts to get pretty easy to predict, which I think the best way I can sum that up is by looking at my results from the one and done last year. Last year, guys, I started with like 3 missed cuts in the one and done tournament, which started at the Sony Open and started there again this year. It was kind of funny in that regard. Like, it's just so much harder to predict, where then I just went out to run picking winners and whatnot. The elevated field events really worked out in that regard, but it's just kind of funny. Like, if you take out the random, more high variance type of events, I really would have crushed it last year. But all in all, that's the nature of the beast at the start of the season. It's just, it's more difficult to predict. But with it being a no-cut event, we can use that to our advantage. So I want to touch on that further, because really in no-cut events, that's where we are seemingly getting the biggest edge, because people are not really willing to do the strategy that you should be doing. And I get it. It's ugly on paper. It's tough to do. But really, the strategy is this, literally just boom, boom, and then boom, 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 you know, just whatever. That is the strategy. Now, there's going to be a little bit more actual strategy that goes into that, but that's literally it. People are just scared to do that. And basically, the example I'm trying to show you guys, you want to be locking in players on the top and that give you guys the chance to get really a top 5 finish in this situation. And then guys on the lower end, they're going to finish in the top 50%. But really, the scoring difference between someone in the 6.2 range to really a guy that's $1,000 more expensive is not all that different. And this is, I was looking back in the schedule. A lot of you guys are hopefully familiar with this. Last year, we went on a 3-month stretch where we cashed in every single week. That was an awesome stretch, best stretch I've had PGA DFS wise. But I was looking at it, a lot of the tournaments were actually no cut events, which in years past, those were events where I just didn't care to target. And guys, don't get me wrong, you're not going to want to target it too much this week. There's a limited field. It's not really the best looking week. And I'll get into the cheat sheet in a second here, but I wanted to start with the strategy of it, because really it's going to be doing. All right. So looking at the players that actually do have the best course history here, kind of event history as well, Colin Morikawa. And what I'm looking at, guys, is going to be course history count, players that have at least 2 starts here over the last 4 years. Again, we look at the last 4 years because that is when the data is going to be the most relevant. Really, after year 5 is when the data really starts to fall up. But at year 4, it really takes a big jump in terms of relevance. And so I like to look at year 4 or the past 4 years. If you guys want to look at year 5, you can. But really, after that, it'd fall off in terms of statistical relevance. So looking at it right now, Colin Morikawa, number 1. And looking at his pricing, guys, he's already someone that I think we could be looking at. I'll touch on that in a second. Colin Morikawa as well, he's kind of a no cut event stud. I think everyone knows that by now. Sungjae Im as well. That's a little bit shocking to me. He was someone that last year, I do remember, I think he was my one and done pick for the Sony Open because he played decently well at the STOC and then was not as good. Scotty had a 7th place finish last year. If he does that again at his price tag, we probably wouldn't like that too much. Patrick Cantlay, we see a 16th, 4th, 13th, and 4th. So kind of hit or miss there. Probably want a top 5 finish out of him, although he's not too high priced. Jordan, 13th and 21st. That's okay. Max Homa, I think, is a player that I'm going to be on a lot. We'll see if the field's going to be there. 3rd place last year is not priced up enough. Harris English, former winner. The funny thing about Harris English's win that year, guys, that was the COVID year. He was not a former winner. Now, they have since kind of went with this approach now, but they had to do that because of the COVID year and whatnot. He was one of the best players. FedEx Cup wise, did not win, had a bunch of chances to win. So that was a pretty cool event for him to actually win. Really changed his career around. Hopefully a lot of you guys know the year of Harris English. That was a fun year for 9 to 5 Nation. Last year was basically the year of Andrew Putnam, which was also a fun year. But continuing on, like, it does start to fall off. Obviously, the Century Tournament champions, when we're looking at average finish and whatnot, it is a very limited field, so it starts to start to become irrelevant. Really, when you get down below 7K, you want players, golfers, that have to finish in the top 50%. That way, essentially looking at it in a way that they will outproduce their price. Now, guys, just looking at the key stat data for the Century Tournament champions, I'm going to keep calling it that, whatever, the Century, whatever. It's going to be basically looking at scoring-based stats. It's a no-cut event. We want golfers that are going to score. Typically speaking, that's going to be par five scoring, birdie or better percentage, ball striking as well, but it is kind of a bigger track in terms of fairway width, so you could be looking at maybe a little bit more of driving off the tee, albeit we are pulling that in with the strokes gained tee to green as well. Looking at the players that are the best at fits when looking in that regard, we got Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, no real shocks there. Rory's not playing. I don't think this is worthwhile to look at stat fit data, nor is it to look at recent form data as well, guys. Like, it's definitely noteworthy, don't get me wrong, but a lot of these golfers we haven't seen play in quite some time, at least at the minimum a month. The max is probably going to be about 3 months for a lot of these golfers. So to me, I don't really care at looking at recent form for the most part. Now, yes, a golfer that was coming in on good form, like Eric Cole, for example, during the fall swing, I like that. I might be prioritizing guys maybe in a 50-50, maybe Cameron Davis as well. Players that played in the fall, I will be giving them a slight edge over someone that hadn't played in the fall, or maybe someone that played better in the fall than someone that hadn't played, like Luke List, maybe over JT Poston, whatever. That's something I might, but really all the best players in the world playing during the fall series. So it's more difficult this year than it was in previous years because of when the season has started, because all the best players definitely had 2, 3, 4 months, whereas in years past, some players would mix in a tournament here or there. Where now with the fall series, to me, that gives those other players kind of a head start on some of these other golfers, because you look at their last competitive rounds for some of those lesser caliber field players, typically speaking, they had a competitive round more recently. So that could be a tiebreaker. Honestly, guys, the thing I might look at the most is going to be the specialist. And so for those of you that might not be familiar, the specialist data is just going to pull in all the unique characteristics for that week's course, whether that be greens, location, length, par, rough length, scoring, easy, hard, you know, whatnot, the style of court, the weather, all that nuance. And so we can just click on specialist here and we can get the best specialist. That's going to be Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. No real shock for Xander. We know he's kind of a no-cut specialist. I do think that's noteworthy. Again, Rory's not in the field anymore. But Victor Hovland we have, Colin Morikawa. Like, this stuff is not too shocking. Again, we're mostly just focused on the price. And one thing I do want to know is maybe potentially location. Which golfers have played the best in Hawaii over the past 7 starts? And so Ricky, again, in the field. Then you got Xander, Matt Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa, Scotty. One funny thing, no Matt Kuchar this year. He would have been someone that had been popping up in here. He is Mr. Hawaii. But all in all, we kind of get a good sense. Let's just go ahead and jump into it DFS-wise. And so looking at it right now, Rory would have been the best play in the field. Now it's actually going to be Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is a play to me that I think we could definitely be on. Again, the strategy this week is basically to play golfers that are very high priced, that give you guys high likelihood of getting a top 5 finish, or play golfers very low price that give you guys a really strong chance at getting a top 50% better or finish. That way they're going to reward you guys point wise. So all in all, we see the course history for Scotty pretty good, a 7th and a 13th place finish. Obviously he's going to be a good stat fit. Obviously one of the best players in the field, 3rd best specialist. He is now the best player in the model this week. He is certainly someone I think we should be going out of our way to play. A lot of people are going to be ending up on Victor Hovland. I don't mind that idea. I also really like Scottie Scheffler and Patrick Cantlay. I'm perfectly fine using the rule this week as well for Scottie Scheffler and Patrick Cantlay. And for you guys that might be confused, the rule with those two is that when you play one of them, you basically play the other. Their games typically align for each and every same tournament. And I don't know, it might just be a groove thing for those guys where they're pretty good friends. They play together a lot. Maybe it's just one of those things where they are both just more mentally prepared to play well together. I don't know. It's just something that happens. So all in all, if I'm playing one, I'm probably going to be playing the other. But for me, I think where I might be starting most of my builds out is actually going to be Colin Morikawa or Max Homa, but also paying up for Scottie Scheffler. So Max Homa is someone that played a little bit on the World Tour. Don't really care for that as well. But we see the Hero World Challenge 13th place finish. Also don't care for that at all, guys. Who cares? That's a very limited field event. That's mostly just a fun event. Who cares about that event, really? That's for maybe 1,000, honestly. It's basically just, and that's really not a good finish there anyway. But when we pull up Max Homa on the cheat sheet, we can see he does have some good course history. 3rd place finish at this event last year, 15th, 25th. Last year, and really half of the season before last year as well, he really had a turning point in his career, really started to play well. It's one of the fun, it's a funny thing. Like, he is Mr. Twitter on the PGA Tour. He just dominates that. And another guy that we'll be talking about, Eric Cole, Mr. TikTok. If you guys haven't followed Eric Cole on TikTok, make sure to give him a follow. Pretty good follow. He breaks down each and every I'll show you guys that real quick. Never mind. It's not Eric Cole. I'm mixing up the rookies from last year. It's Ben Griffin. Ben Griffin's a good follow on TikTok. Gives you the day in the life on the PGA Tour. My bad there. But he's a fun follow as well. Eric Cole, he's a play I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, Ben Griffin, good follow. But yeah, again, taking Rory out of the picture, Max Homa is coming in as the second best play this week. To me, I can treat him as a core play, just given the pricing. Again, I mostly want to be focusing on these higher priced plays that are going to give us the best chance of getting us really a victory, but a top five finish, I think, is really the marker you should be shooting for. And so to me, Max Homa is going to be that starting. If we want to go further, like, we can look at his results prior. Again, I'm not too worried about that, but we can see one top 10, top 30, two, three, four, four top 10s over his past five starts, and then you include a top 12 finish. Like, he was playing extremely well. I expect him to be geared up, ready to play well again this season. And so he's someone I'm perfectly happy to just plug in there right now to give you guys this kind of sample build like I typically would. From there, Wyndham Clark is someone you can play. Matt Fitzpatrick, I think, is a player that's going to have a much, much better season this year. Again, during the fall, I don't really care for that, but he did play pretty well on the DP Tour. I do think he's going to be an interesting play. Hatton, I don't really want to trust. Colin Morikawa, I think, is going to be chalky, but he's going to be chalky for a good reason. And let me actually see here. So not too crazy for Colin Morikawa. Scotty and Max Homa are the two highest owned players. I didn't know that. I typically don't like to look at ownership until Wednesday. But yeah, Colin Morikawa actually might be a decent leverage spot, because I think he should probably, given his pricing, be the highest owned player on the site. So I'm kind of liking that now. I could talk myself into Colin Morikawa a little bit more. Again, I don't care about the Hero World Challenge. At the Zozo Championship, another no-kid event, had a first place finish, but also had a first place finish while having a terrible round mixed in there as well. So love to see that there from him. And sure, Colin Morikawa might not be like the highest ranked player in the model per se, but considering his price tag, he is someone to me I think sticks out. You guys will also see Tommy Fleetwood, Tom Kim are two players that pop up as well. Tom Kim was playing really good golf at that time. He also could be someone that you're looking at. Again, I don't really want to go fair and balanced. If I was going to go fair and balanced, though, I probably would just go Morikawa, Tom Kim, Max Homa, and then fill in where I need, skipping out on Scotty. But Colin Morikawa, guys, again, that course history is just phenomenal. Four straight top seven finishes or better. Sure, the recent form up until that Zozo Championship was very spotty, very bad, to be honest with you guys, but it was just kind of a down year for him. I think that's just the best way to look at it. And so when we even look at that recent form like that, it is bad. It's relatively speaking bad. We can see 23rd best in recent form. Again, like in quotes, like, really don't care about recent form. It's tough to say what golfers were working on during the offseason, what equipment changes they made. Did they change their diet? Like Justin Thomas, we know last year he changed his diet. He's back to a normal diet again. So I expect him to have a better year. But there's always weird stuff that golfers do. For instance, Billy Horschel last year changed his swing coming in off of a seemingly career year. Golfers will do. And we don't know for sure how that's going to end the game. All in all, this is just the biggest kind of wait and see type of week. But again, we want to play. And so we got to make the best educated guess that we can. And so to me, I think Colin Morikawa, to me, at that price tag, is going to be someone I think we should be going out of our way to play. So Eric Cole coming in off of that good fall swing, third, like, love that there. His last competitive round was over almost 2 months ago, though, again. So it's like, it's crazy because during the season, guys, and I'm going to harp on this, like, during the season, a guy takes 2 weeks off and it's like, oh, what do? He took 2 weeks off. We'd love to see back-to-back weeks and whatnot, or 3 weeks, 1 week off and whatnot. You can really get a good indication of how a guy's striking the ball and whatnot. But like, this is our most recent form and we love it. It's great. It's awesome. But at the same time, it's 2 months off. Tough to say for sure what he's going to be like. 2 months off is a long time for players golf wise. And just using like myself personally as an example, I actually play some of my best rounds, or just any sport, I do better after having a bunch of time off. And then the next couple of weeks, it kind of regressed back to the norm. So again, that's just a weird example of saying we don't exactly know how players are respond. All in all, last time we saw him, he was playing well. I'm willing to bet on him playing well again. No cut event, someone that we know can go out and score. A little bit worried that it's his first time playing this tournament, but all in all, we saw Harris English win this event, his first time playing it as well. So I'm not too worried about it. He's someone at 7.4 I can end up on. After that, though, it starts to get kind of thin. And it getting thin is kind of a good thing, I would say. Like, JT Poston is a play I don't mind at his price tag, coming in as a pretty good play. Tom Hoge is someone feels a little bit hit or miss. He was playing some good golf last year at this time. All in all, he's someone we could end up on. Adam Svensson is a player that did play this tournament last year. 37th place finish there. Obviously not a good finish, but at 6.6, he's someone I can start to think about playing. Our boy Andrew Putnam from last season, coming in as a very good play as well. He's someone I can get behind. Mackenzie Hughes has some good course experience here. Another play, given his price tag, I can, you know, really get behind. But to me, the play that I really like the most is actually going to be these two. Luke List, who had an 11th place finish here last year. And then also Akshay as well, where, you know, relatively speaking, they played well during the fall. Relatively speaking, good enough plays. Plays that I fully expect to give us a top 50% finish. again, given their pricing, where all we need them to do is finish in the top 50%, I think they give us a good chance at doing that. Now, sure, Luke List didn't exactly produce at the Bermuda Championship or Worldwide Technology Championship, which were events that weren't all that great. But all in all, he has been playing some good golf. He's been doing good enough. So I am more than happy to play him at that price tag. And then same thing with Akshay, where, you know, he does seem to be coming into his own a little bit right now. I'm a little bit more worried about him. Maybe it's not a top 50% finish, but given where he's priced, it's going to be very difficult for me to see him not outproducing that price tag. And so for me, I'm going to be more than happy to end up on Akshay there. 6.2 just seems too cheap. And then, like, if you guys want to play Shumas Power, be fine with it. Again, I do like Andrew Putnam, but we have 11.4 left over. Like, it's super easy to make a good build. If you guys want to go Scottie Scheffler, you can do that. If you guys didn't want to play two values, I kind of get that. Again, you could easily go up from or go down from Scotty to, I don't know, Xander and Cantlay if you wanted to, or Tom Kim we saw was popping up. You have 8.7 left over. You go with Ludvig. Everyone loves Ludvig. Could definitely play him if you guys want to. Like, there's so many easy lineup path routes. But guys, that's going to be it for today's video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the coverage. I am going to be trying to do more golf, and it's going to be on this channel, the 9to5 Golf. The reason why I'm doing this channel is simply because I want to get more content out golf-wise. I want to get out Showdown. I want to get props content. I want to get All Right Bet content. I can't really put that on my main channel too much because that's content where the amount of people, it's just not as great. Not as many people are going to click on it. So for years, I've been pumping out awesome content for golf. Personally, I think some of the best in the industry. And because I'm putting out NBA, NFL stuff, it doesn't really gain that much traction. So I want this to be very much golf concentrated for this content. It's going to be 9to5 Golf, mostly fantasy golf content, but I have a putting green right across from me. I kind of want to show a video of how to build a putting, you know, stupid stuff like that, or golf ball reviews. That's something I really enjoy doing. Cutting open golf ball. Like, I have this bad boy that I just enjoy doing random stuff like that. I think that'd be fun, short golf content, but that's something on my main channel that's just too far off from what people care about for that audience, that it doesn't make sense to do that. So I'm excited to get this content. So that is going to be all for today's video, though. Make sure to give a like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell as well. I do appreciate that. If you guys want access to any of the 9to5sports.com tools, they are available at 9to5sports.com for just $10 a month. Let's have a good slate. Let's start out 2024 right. Thank you guys for watching. And as always, let's keep cashing.